Hello and welcome to episode 2 of our Hacker Public Radio series on an introduction to audio and podcasting or oddcasting. I'm Daniel Wirth, and this time we're going to be talking about how we capture sound. First up, I have a little bit of stuff to talk about last time. First of all, I had some encoding issues because I'm using a Delta Series card on my studio machine, and when I do the open or OS perspective show, we use Skype, and that requires 44.1 kilohertz. And then for the open source musician podcast, we use 48 kilohertz. And I switched the recording in Ardor, I didn't switch it on the settings for the sound card, so had some transcoding issues, and I want to apologize for that. I do understand there's quite a bit of irony in having a show about audio that messes up like that, so sorry about that. Next, I wanted to talk about, I accidentally called sample rate bitrate on the last show. It's not bitrate. Bitrate is how many kilobytes per second the audio streams off a disk when it's compressed. I was talking about sample rate. Sorry about that. I also threw in some links. Some people were hitting me up on how to on the Mumble clients, and I threw in some info about the new recording information, a link to that. Info on compiling Mumble from source to get the new recording feature before it's released. And it's not a very good walkthrough, but the information is in there on how to record Mumble output using just Pulse Audio, so not having to compile anything. You wouldn't be able to do everybody in the room separately, but you'd get the room total, and that would work. And then for this episode, I wanted to start out talking about a microphone and how a microphone works. A microphone's job is to take the sound in the whatever's in front of it, in this situation, your voice, and turn it into an electronic signal that then could be passed through an analog to digital converter, which creates it into bits and bytes and zeros, and allows you to send that over the internet to your listener. So we have a few different kinds of basic microphones. I'm going to cover the three main ones, actually four main ones, and really you're probably only going to be using one. So the first one is a condenser microphone, and this is generally what you see. They're rather large looking microphones that are generally side address. Some are end address, but mostly side address. They're what I use for my regular podcast. And these microphones use a diaphragm created of a membrane, PVC or Mylar generally. And they infuse the center of the membrane with a metal. A lot of times it's gold, sometimes silver, platinum, palladium, or nickel in cheaper condenser microphones. And then they attach a lead and they send an electrical current through it, and it creates a electromagnet field that as sound waves bounce off of the diaphragm, it creates a little bit of electrical signal, very low. And that is what you're able to use to capture your voice. So next we have a dynamic microphone, which in contrast doesn't use a diaphragm with an electromagnetic field. As a fixed magnet, like a speaker. And then inside there's a diaphragm, and the diaphragm is free-floating and moves in and out of the magnetic field, creating the electrical signal that captures your voice that way. Last, real quick, I'll touch on a ribbon microphone, and a ribbon microphone uses two permanent field magnets and a piece of corrugated metal, whether it's aluminum or gold, kind of free suspended, and it's moving in and out of the field magnets is what creates the electronic signal. You're not going to use a ribbon microphone. Generally, a condenser microphone is going to sound the best for recording a range of frequencies, such as vocals when you're singing. Can sound pretty darn good on recording your voice for voiceover or for a podcast. But it does require phantom power. So if your equipment doesn't support 48-volt phantom power, you won't be able to use a condenser microphone. Dynamic microphones don't require phantom power, but running phantom power through them doesn't hurt them. However, a ribbon microphone, the modern ones won't, but the older ones, if you run 48-volt phantom power, you blow them up. So keep that in mind. So we have a microphone, and we've created an electronic signal, but it's a really quiet signal. And what we need to do is boost that signal, and we do that through a preamplifier. There's lots of different preamplifiers to choose from, a million options that cost anywhere from $20 or $30 all the way to tens of thousands of dollars. And generally, ideally, you would get a USB interface that would have built-in preamplifiers, and that should be probably good enough for a podcast. I know another type of microphone would also be the back electric microphone. Back electric microphone uses a permanently charged magnet inside of the condenser, or a permanently charged element, rather, that doesn't require power. And these are generally the types of microphones you get in a USB headset for gaming or a plug-in microphone, because it doesn't require any power. It can be used in a passive device. And the issue with these is that while there are high-quality back electric mics, they aren't in any of the consumer-level electronics. Generally, the really good back electric mics are used in the little over-the-ear face mics you see dancers wearing or pop singers when they're singing on stage. And those are, you know, those microphones are $400 or $500. And most of the elements below that are cheap and crap and sound terrible. And that's why it's really hard to find a decent USB headset that sounds pretty good. If that's all you have, you know, that's your starting point. And that's fine. And for Hacker Public Radio, I truly believe that content is king, and the quality of your audio isn't important as long as it meets some basics. So, you know, I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about it, but doing the best you can to get quality audio, definitely what you want to do. And remember, there's all these things like, oh, we can fix it afterwards. It's not true. Really, the best place to fix it is at the source. Get the best sound you can. If you're limited by budget or by the equipment you have, you know, you're limited by that. There's nothing you can do, but you want to put the best effort in that you can. So back to the microphone preamplifier. What it does is it amplifies the signal up to line level. And the higher end ones do this in the most transparent way, or they color the sound using tubes and such to give a nice effect on certain sources. Generally, you don't need a high end for just doing a high end microphone preamplifier just for doing voiceover work or podcasting. In fact, Behringer and Art make some little single channel portable ones that are pretty inexpensive, and are, you know, they'll sound just fine for doing a podcast. Next, I want to talk about capture devices. So we have a few different options. You can use the built-in card in your computer. Generally, with those, your only options are using a back electric mic, which we've said isn't going to sound very good. Like I said, if that's what you're stuck with, try to find the best USB headset you can and go with that. But you're going to be really limited on the quality you're going to be able to get out of that. Next, we have a USB external device, and these can be available for anywhere from, generally they run, Behringer makes one that's about $30 all the way to ones that run a couple $100. The cheap Behringer one doesn't include a microphone preamplifier. It just has RCA inputs, so you'll need an external microphone amplifier. They do make small mixing boards that are available for about $30 to $40, maybe $50, you know, $30 if you get them used, that include preamplifiers in them. So that, coupled with one of those inexpensive USB headsets, or inexpensive USB audio interfaces, rather, will get you some really good sounds. I know Tascam, I think, or Alesis is making a multi-mix device that is USB 1.0 and supported under Linux and has a mixer with like a single microphone input. And it's available, I think, for about $60 or $70. So that'd actually be a pretty decent way to start. Also, some of the inexpensive M-Audio, trying to remember the name of them, the Fast Track Pro, are supported under Linux. You'll have to double check because there's some different models of those devices. Those are supported, and those have microphone preamps built in. Those are pretty handy little devices. You want to keep in mind that only USB 1.0 is supported under Linux because there is a standard audio spec in the USB 1.0 specification, and that is generally well implemented. Those devices, if you want to check compatibility, will generally say they're usable on Windows and Mac without a driver, and that's usually your clue. If it says that and it's a USB 1.0 standard spec device, it'll work fine under Linux. USB 2.0 has a spec. It hasn't been implemented by any of the manufacturers. They chose to go with proprietary specs. And so we don't have any USB 2.0 devices that are supported, so you want to stay away from those. We have quite a few PCI devices that are available under Linux. Most notably, you want to look up the M-Audio Delta series. That's the Delta 44, 66, 1010, and 1010 Lite. And also any of the other NV24-based chipsets that are available on the market. You can pick those up, relatively inexpensive, but they do require a full PCI slot. There's no PCIe devices, so you'll have to watch that on your motherboard. Then finally, we have FireWire devices. Those can be anywhere from a two-channel setup up to, you know, eight channels. It's kind of per device what's supported, and they're supported through the FFADO project. And you want to check out their website and their matrix for what devices are supported before you pick one up. You can get those used mostly. They're not really manufacturing much FireWire devices anymore. And for laptops, a lot of laptops aren't coming with FireWire devices. If you're going to be recording music with it too, you want to keep in mind that certain laptops share IRQs with other components in the laptop, and that can prevent you from getting low latency settings. So you want to check around and try to get an idea of what that's going to look like. But FireWire devices are out there. If you have that on your laptop or your computer, it might be worth a try. A lot of those, in fact, most of those have preamplifiers built into them. So that could be a good way to go for podcasting. I think that pretty much covers the hardware aspect of it. The other one I wanted to talk about for USB 1.0 is there's a lot of microphones, such as the Blue Yeti. There's also some adapters that allow you to plug it directly into a microphone and use it as a USB 1.0 device. These are fantastic. They're almost always USB 1.0 and well supported under Linux, and allow you to just directly plug a USB, any microphone, and convert it to USB. Generally, they don't support phantom power, so you want to stay away from condenser mics with those. These are a really good option for getting a single channel. If you're going to be looking to do multiple channels, it can be quite a pain in the butt to plug in a lot of USB interfaces and try to get them all to work. It is possible, generally not recommended. My preferred recording application is still Ardor. There's lots of complaints that Audacity is easier to use than Ardor. And I really don't think for the basics it is. And I think you have a lot of power in using Ardor that you don't get with Audacity. And so using a device like that, single USB, only gives you input. There's no output generally. Some of them do have a place you can plug in headphones. But you do have to keep in mind there's a little more additional jack configuration to use an input device that doesn't support duplex or output. I'm using my Zoom H4 right now, which is a USB 1.0 device, has two XLR inputs with microphone preamps, has phantom power, can run at 44.1 or 48 kilohertz, and works perfectly under Linux, works great with jack. So There's those kind of devices are an option too. The advantage of those is that you can take them with you without a computer and record a podcast, plug their card into your computer, pull the audio off and just edit it that way. And you get around a lot of the problems with hardware settings doing it that way, that you can just edit with really high latencies and not worry about a lot of jack configuration. You can kind of get up and running pretty quickly. So keep that in mind. That's a good option too. Zoom makes some lower end devices that don't have the preamplifiers in them, don't support XLRNs. But they do have built-in microphones that are pretty decent condenser microphones. And those can be pretty handy too. And I think I picked up my Zoom for, I got it on sale for a pretty good deal. And I think I paid $220 for it. And then right now I'm using an SM58 microphone, which is almost always $100. And and then you have a cable. Other than that, I don't have any more equipment that I'm using. One thing that would be strongly suggested, and I don't actually have one on here, is a pop screen. What a pop screen is going to do is prevent the plosives or popping like that you get against the microphone. And those are available in a clamp-on. They clamp on to a microphone stand, or you can clamp them onto a desk and put them in front of the microphone. Or you can get the little foam toppers that go on a condenser mic, and that'll do the same effect. And those are indispensable. I really recommend everybody who's using a microphone uses a pop screen. Trying to think of other tips. One thing to remember is you generally want your microphone a little bit off center of the output of the where a person's talking, so you don't get as many plosives, not as much air is actually hitting the diaphragm of the microphone. As far as finding a quiet room, a lot of voiceover guys for video, for TV and stuff do stuff in hotel rooms when they're doing live recordings and they don't have a studio. So one trick is to just take a whole bunch of blankets, pile them up on top of yourself and sit with your laptop underneath the blankets or your computer screen and record under a bunch of blankets. It'll cut down a lot of your room noise and sounds amazing. So if you're really looking for a really good sound and a little bit of privacy, maybe it won't cut out a lot of background noise, but it'll cut out a lot of the echo of a room. I know I got a little bit going on now because I'm not in my studio, so that's a good trick. I think that about covers it for this one. If you have any feedback, you want to email me, you can email me at dworth@opensourcemusician.com and give me feedback on the show. Let me know what you want in upcoming. Also, if you go to the opensourcemusician.com website, on the main page, there's a link to my show notes for these shows, and you can help me edit it and add things that you want in. There's a discussion page. Feel free to throw stuff on the discussion page, and I'll make sure I cover it in one of these episodes. So until next time, podcast out.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.